If you will, today, I want you to turn to the book of John. The book of John. John chapter number 3. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Everyone knows it. Miss Carlene, good to see you. All the way from Texas. Amen. Good to see you today. Amen. Were you in the choir too? Amen. I looked up there and I thought, man, that lady looks just like Carlene Thomas. And sure enough, she's sitting right here beside, in front of me now. Amen. That's great. Good to see you today, dear. Appreciate you coming. Hey, let me remind you, July the 11th is a special day. July the 11th, Sunday school starts back up. Amen. Amen. We've been out of Sunday school for, nearly 16 months now. And man, I am so looking forward to it. We've been having our Sunday school classes online. And I do an audio broadcast because I have the perfect radio face for that. And but I'm thankful that we're going to be able to have our Sunday school back in session again. That'll be at 9:45 beginning on July the 11th. Amen. July the 11th. So I hope you'll be there. Amen. All right. I want to speak to you this morning out of the book of John. John chapter number 3, beginning here in verse number 1. I want you to read with me this morning. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this morning, I want to take these few moments, and I want to speak to you this morning on this simple subject, the love of God. The love of God. When Pastor called me this morning and said that he was sick and was not going to be able to be here, and I asked him, I said, so are you calling to ask me to preach? He said, I'd sure appreciate it. And I told him, I said, I'd be glad to. You know what? That's what they call being instant in season and out of season. Amen. It's like instant oatmeal. You just add some butter to it and some milk and you heat it up and you eat it up. Amen. And this morning, I was out walking the dog. I was walking Precious, not Lisa, Precious. I was walking Precious this morning. And she walked a little later, okay? But I was walking. I was talking to the Lord. and just thinking about what God has done and how good God has been. And this verse, John 3:16, came across my heart and my mind. And I went downstairs and I got on my knees and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, just show me what you'd have me to say today. And this is the message that God has given me today. It's a simple subject, but it has great depth today. And this message applies to every person that sits in this auditorium today. Whether you be saved or whether you be lost, I want you to understand something today. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. God's got something He wants you to see today. And I want you to pray that God will allow me to be able to give you what He's given to me this morning. All right? So let's pray this morning. Father, I so love you today. But Lord, the reason that I can love you is because you first loved me and you gave yourself for me. And Lord, as I preach this message that you've given me today to preach, I pray, dear God, that you'll speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, girls, whoever may be here today. Lord, those that are listening and watching through the internet today, I pray, dear God, that you'll use the words that you've given to me. Use them to speak to the hearts of these dear folks, whether they be saved or whether they be lost. And I pray, God, today that you'll help us to consider the love of God that has been so displayed in our lives today. Lord, I ask for your power. I ask for your strength. I ask for your wisdom. And I ask, Lord, that you'll make our hearts attentive today, Lord, to what you've got to say. And Lord, we'll sure thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. It's about that time, Brother Rick, I could use that candy bar. But I'll drink this water instead. Amen. That's good too. In this passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning from the book of John, chapter 3, we see the love of God explained by God the Son in human form as He walked upon the face of this earth. And we see it displayed and explained in such a way that only God Himself could ever explain it. I love the song, The Love of God. And I was thinking about that this morning. I printed out these words real quickly. And that song says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints' and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. You know, in the first chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit of God directed John to write these words. And I want you to turn there, just turn a page or so back to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 and verse 1. And as John wrote here in this this passage, I want you to hear what he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He, and this is speaking of Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But, I love this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. As John wrote here, and he was guided by the Holy Spirit of God, we read here, and we see here both sad and glad words in this passage of Scripture. I want you, first of all, to see the sad part of this passage. And that is here in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, where it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And look at verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness. And here's the sad part. And the darkness comprehended it not. Look down at verse 10 and verse 11. The Bible said here, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That's the sad part of this passage. But I want you to look at the glad part of it. Amen. The glad part we look at, we find beginning here in verse number 12. Look at what he said. It starts out, but, I just love that, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. That's why His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. The Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. And we beheld, we saw, we knew, we saw manifested. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, honey, listen, there are some sad words in those passages. But the glad words came as we looked at the first two words in verse number 11, where it said, He came. He came. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? Aren't you glad today that God chose to do that which we could not do in ourselves? And He came to where we were. We could not ascend up to Him. Our good works could never get us to God, but God looked upon sinful man, and He came to where we were. Amen. Thank God for that. Sin had come into the world, and sin had stolen away man's love for God. Man chose to love man, and that was it. He loved self more than God. He loved the pleasures of sin more than the pleasures of God. He loved the things of the flesh more than He loved the things of God. And sin stole away man's love for God. But I want you to understand something today. Sin could never steal away God's love for man. Amen. Sin could never steal it. Sin could never change the heart of God. And John declared here in John chapter 1, as we look at those verses in verses 15 through 37, we see here how that John said, listen, I'm not the one you think I am. I'm just a messenger. I'm just the mailman delivering the postage. Amen. I'm delivering the message that God loves you and God wants you to be saved. And in John chapter 1, verses 15 through 37, I'm not going to take time to go back and read it again, but John gives his testimony of what he saw. John the Baptist. John the Beloved writes here of John the Baptist's testimony and how John the Baptist declared him to everyone around him. You see, John wasn't here to point folks to himself. John was here to point people to Jesus. Amen. And we see that here in verses 35, 36, and 37. Look what he said. And the next day after John stood, he had been preaching, he had been telling folks about the Savior that was coming. He stood, and two of those disciples, those men that followed after John and listened to his preaching, John looked at them. And the Bible said, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He pointed them to Jesus. Amen? He put them in the right perspective. And John wanted them to see. And as you go back through and you read these passages, and you go down through and you read, if you'll go down to verse number 43, we see here how that Andrew was telling Simon Peter about it in the verses before that. But in verses 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him. We have found him." And Nathanael probably said, "What are you talking about?" And Philip said, "Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said unto him, "Come and see." What do you find here? You find people pointing others to Jesus. Amen. They're pointing folks to Jesus. They're pointing folks to the very love of God in human flesh. They're pointing them to Jesus. And folks, now, as Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, God in the flesh, is now made manifest unto all mankind, we see a man who has been steeped in religion all of his life, with no real joy, no real peace in his heart about what he says he believes. And in John chapter 3, turn back over to John chapter 3, we see this man coming to Jesus by night. He comes to Jesus by night. And he comes to find light. Isn't it interesting? Every time you find darkness, Jesus is standing there with the light. Amen. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the darkness of night, but he comes seeking light and understanding from a man that he knows to be sent from God. Look what he said here. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." I want you to take note here. As we read these passages in John chapter 3, Jesus explains to Nicodemus the love of God. And he explains to him in such a way because he wants Nicodemus to fully understand the love that God has for him. I believe that possibly this is perhaps one of the greatest passages in all the Bible, John chapter 3. Because in it, Jesus explains the necessity of the new birth. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by our goodness, our good deeds, but it's by the grace and mercy of Almighty God that sinful man can be able to come into the presence of God. You may sit here today and say, "Well, I know that God loves me, but I don't fully understand why he loves me." I want you to understand he has a reason for loving you today. And that is so that you might come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And those of us who are saved, we are to hear this and we're to understand it. We're not to just glimpse over it and just take it as not specific for us. But we are to read this and to understand that because of the love of God, you and I today are on our way to heaven, and we have been given a job to do. And that is to share that same love with everyone around us, even as John the Baptist did, even as Philip did, even as Andrew did with his own brother, Simon Peter. And folks, I want you to take careful note here. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where Jesus explains to Nicodemus the love of God. And Nicodemus, if you'll go back through here, he's having trouble understanding all these things. He's asking questions like, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And he goes back and Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus looks at him and he says, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? You've been in the Word of God all of your life. Are you so blinded by religion that you don't see the relation that God wants to have with you? So Jesus, while Nicodemus is not able to understand in his little finite mind and his unsaved heart, Jesus takes Nicodemus back to an Old Testament passage of Scripture. And he said here in verses 14 and 15, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You say, but preacher, what is Jesus trying to say? Turn with me back to the Old Testament Scriptures just a moment. Our pastor on Wednesday nights has been going through the Old Testament Scriptures and pointing out Jesus all through the Old Testament Scriptures. And in Numbers chapter number 21, I want you to see something this morning. In Numbers chapter 21, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. All right. Numbers chapter 21, here's the story that Jesus was reminding Nicodemus of. Nicodemus was well learned in the Scriptures, but his understanding was darkened by religion, by deeds, by good works. And he did not see the truth, the light of God's great love for him. And in Numbers chapter 21, beginning in verse number 4, the Bible said, and they journeyed, talking about the children of Israel. They've come out of Egypt. They've been delivered by the great hand of God. And as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged by the way. Boy, that sounds like our world today, does it not? Boy, the devil has led people on a long path and got them so discouraged in the way. But I want you to understand something. The Bible said the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You know what? They'd gotten used to the blessings of God, and they didn't appreciate it anymore. Folks, never forget the blessings of God. Don't forget the blesser that gives you the blessings. Amen? And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Every time you see about the serpents in the Bible, from the very book of Genesis, we see how that the serpent has represented sin. And here, because of their sin, because of their rebellion against God, because of their complaining, their murmuring, they're talking against God, they're talking against the man of God, God says, you know what? I've had enough of this. And the Bible said that God sent fiery serpents into the camp, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." They recognized that they had done wrong when judgment came upon them. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman that had been there complaining and backbiting and talking against God and disobeying God and murmur against the man of God, those that had been bitten by these fiery serpents and had not yet died, everyone that was bitten, you tell them, when you look upon that serpent and believe what God said he'll do, he shall live." And these are the words that Jesus reminded Nicodemus of. And look at verse number 9. "And Moses made a serpent of brass." Brass there representing judgment. "And he put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Remember the song, "Look and Live"? Look and live. That's what it's talking about. And Jesus here in John chapter 3 tells Nicodemus, he said, "As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so," he said, "God has sent me to be lifted up for you. That whosoever," look at what he said, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Folks, I want you to understand, in these passages of Old Testament scriptures, and these passages that we so oftentimes think, well, they're not relevant to us today, they are relevant today. Amen? They were relevant to Jesus. They were relevant to Nicodemus. And they're relevant to you and I today as well. And in these passages of Old Testament scripture, Jesus tells Nicodemus of God's great love and mercy, and his compassion and grace for a stiff-necked and rebellious people, as were the Jews. And as Jesus speaks with Nicodemus, he explains to him here in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, just how much God truly loved him, and just how much God truly loves you, and just how much God truly loves me today. And not only did Nicodemus hear that story, but you and I, from even a little child, have been told of the great love of God that God has for each of us today. And in these passages of Scripture, I want you to understand today four things. Four simple things. Number one, I want you to take note here that it was all God's choice. It was God's choice. Look what he said in John chapter 3, verse 16, the first part of it. "For God so loved the world." It was God who so loved the world. It wasn't you and I. It wasn't Nicodemus that loved God. These Pharisees and scribes and all the things that they did, they thought they had to do these great works in order to be right with God. But that's not what salvation's about, folks. Salvation was God's choice to love sinful man. And God chose to love Nicodemus. God chose to love you. God chose to love me. And folks, that love is something that was so undeserved by those of us that were so sinful. So undeserved. But it was also something that was unforeseen by those who were so blinded by sin. Nicodemus, though learned in the Scriptures, though he had been brought up in the Scriptures since a child, sin had blinded his heart and his eyes. Folks, never look upon the Word of God as simply just another book. So many people I've talked to, and so many people have said unto me, "Well, I've read that book and I never got anything out of it." You're just like Nicodemus, which looked at Jesus and said, "How can a man be born again when he's old? How can these things be?" Let me tell you how these things can be. It's through the love of God. It was God's choice. It's undeserved by those of us so sinful. It's unforeseen by those of us who are so blinded by sin. But now, as a child of God, it is something that's so unforgotten that I cannot forget that great love. And folks, if you are here today, if there's anyone in this room today, or watching through the internet services, if you are not yet saved, the Word of God, the love of God, when you are in hell, will never be forgotten. You'll realize its reality at that point. You'll come to see and you'll come to know that the love of God really was given for you and for me. And it was God's choice to do it. God's choice. The love of God. It was all God's choice. But secondly, it was God's gift. It was God's gift. It's not our works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. It was not by the good deeds of those people, those Jews in the wilderness, when they spake against God and they spake against God's man. It wasn't anything that they had done that showed that they deserved God's mercy. They deserved judgment, and God sent judgment. But God also extended the great gift of His love to each and every sinful man. Listen to me today. It's undeserved. It's unforeseen. It's unforgotten by both the saved and the lost. And it is a gift that must be accepted or rejected. Look at what He said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, there's two special things about a gift that you need to remember today. Number one, a gift is always given to another person by someone who loves them. Man, when I was sick last year, I'd been in the hospital with this pneumonia and the COVID, and I got out the middle of December. I was home a week. The pneumonia came back again. I couldn't get out. I had not been Christmas shopping. Hadn't gotten anything for my wife. But you know what? I loved her. And thank God for the internet. Amen. And I went online searching. And I had a gift that I purchased for her. And while I was laying downstairs in the recliner, I purchased a gift for her online and had it sent to the house. Now, I lived from November until the end of February downstairs. I had not been upstairs. I was downstairs. But I sent that gift. And it came by USPS or UPS or somebody. Somebody delivered it to the door. They rang the doorbell. I saw it come up on my phone, but I could not make it up the steps to get it. So I think Danny or somebody went out there and got it and brought it down. It had my name on it. And when Lisa came in, she said, "Listen, there's a gift up here or something for you, a box or something. Why don't you open it?" I said, I don't feel like opening it right now. And you know what I did? On Christmas morning, I left that box up underneath the tree. I didn't feel like wrapping it. I didn't feel like doing anything with it except giving it to her. A gift is given to someone because you love them. And when my wife opened up that gift and saw what it was, pretty little necklace and some little earrings that went with it, the bill was attached inside of it. Seriously, I kid you not. But it was marked paid in full. Paid in full. Two things about a gift. Number one, it's given by somebody that loves you. But number two, it's paid for in full. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was God's choice. It was God's great gift. But number three, it was God's promise. It was His promise. Look at the rest of this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Here's the promise. That whosoever, that's you, that's me. You're rich, you're poor. Listen, you're ugly, or you're skinny, or you're pretty, or you're fat, or you're muscular. It doesn't matter. It said, for whosoever, that whosoever believeth in Him, here's the promise, should not perish. You wouldn't have to die without hope. You wouldn't have to enter eternity lost forever. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. It's God's promise. It was God's choice. It was God's gift. It was God's promise. But number four, it was God's proof. You say, how do I know that God loves me? God doesn't love me. If God loved me, all of these things would not happen to me that's happened to me through the years. You listen to me today. Oftentimes, God has to humble us. Oftentimes, God has to get our attention off of us so that we might fall upon our knees and look up unto Him. And the troubles and trials that you go through, and those of you that are lost, and you leave that excuse, I can't see where God loves me. What proof do you have? It's all right here. And I want you to look at verse 17. The proof is found spoken by the words of God in the flesh, where He said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Listen, God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn you or me for our sin. Sin had already done that. Sin had already condemned us. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. But look at it. But that the world through Him might be saved. It's not through your excuses that you find mercy with God. It's not through sin and rebellion against God that you find saving grace. There's not some other way that you can put your faith and trust in today and know without a doubt that your sins have been forgiven. There's only one way to know. And the proof is here. It's in God and in His Son. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4 just a moment. 1 John chapter 4, these words come to my heart, my mind. John again writes here and he said, herein is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's in a nutshell why we go out and tell folks about Jesus. This passage in a nutshell is why we have Sunday school, why we run buses on Sunday morning, why we have children's services both now and on Wednesday night. That's why we do what we do. Why? Because, beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought also to love one another. And we take that love and we share it with those who are so unlovable, like me, like you, before we were saved. And the proof of God's love is seen right here, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Romans chapter 5 tells us here. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Here the Apostle Paul wrote these words, and he said this: "For when we were yet without strength, Christ, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's what you were. That's what I was before we were saved. Ungodly. "And in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, someone even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." As Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law, the curse of the law." And the proof of God's love is seen here in John chapter 3, verse 17, where that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, my question to you is simply this: whether you be saved or whether you be lost, what will you do with the love of God that has so clearly been made evident in the Scriptures for you and for me today? What will you do with the love of God? Child of God, will you get complacent and relaxed, especially in this new environment of anything goes, and man, we just got to close ourselves up and we got to just hide ourselves from everything? Listen, if God so loved us, then we ought also to love one another. That's why we're faithful to church. We don't come to church to be saved. Listen, going to church won't save you. It won't make you a Christian any more than sitting in the garage will make you a car. But we come to Sunday school. We come to church. We come to Bible study. We come to serve because of his great love for us. And if you're lost today, my question to you is, what are you going to do with the love of God? You've got one of two choices. Either you accept it and God gives you his gift of eternal life, or you choose to reject it and you spend eternity separated from God in an awful place. It was not even prepared for you. An awful place called hell. And don't come back and say, "Well, God would never send me to hell." He won't. But you will. You'll send yourself if you choose to reject the love of God. There may be someone sitting in this room today. There may be someone listening to the sound of my voice through the internet today. This is your last opportunity to hear the gospel and to receive it and be saved. Don't pass away the love of God. Accept it today. Father, I have preached, Lord, what you said preach this morning. God, I've given them your word. Now, God, you're going to have to do the work in the hearts of the men and women here today. For those of us, God, that are saved, I pray, oh God, that you'll stir our hearts to never forget the great love that you have given unto us. And how that today we stand redeemed by the precious blood of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only because of your great love for us that we can have eternal life. Help us now, God, to determine that we're going to take that love and we're going to share it with someone else that needs to hear the story. But God, my heart is burdened today for someone that may be here. Perhaps this is their last time to be able to hear the message of the Word of God before they stand in the light of eternity. Oh God, don't let them turn away the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't let them turn away the love of God for a last time and then have to spend eternity separated from you in hell. God, please speak to their hearts today and help them to come and be saved. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Let's all